Radio Africana.
Can we give each other hope? 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 Hope, bringing others hope. And that's what we need in this world indeed. So do not be afraid to keep each other safe.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Second Chances. I'm Hilary Asumu, your host for the evening. It's so good to be here again today on a really great topic, and I hope you're going to take a few things away with you today. Wherever you are, if you are in your front room, your living room, or in your bedroom listening to me this evening, either alone with your family or with friends or your neighbors, then I bid you good evening. So sit back and relax. If you have some popcorn, please get them right now, because you are in for a treat. 8 weeks. 8 weeks of different topics. We have covered a lot of ground: transplant recovery, faith, family, the waiting list, donor voices, advocacy, the next generation. So tonight, I want to go somewhere underneath all of it. I want to talk about what it means to make a health decision when you are living between two worlds. Because most of us in this community are doing exactly that. We are British and we are Nigerian, or Ghanaian, or Jamaican, or Barbadian, or Trinidadian, or Somali, or Zimbabwe. We hold both simultaneously every single day. And those two identities do not always agree about what to do when the body is in crisis. The NHS says one thing, the family back home says another, the church or the mosque says a third, the community group chat says something else entirely. And in the middle of all that noise, a person has to make a decision. about whether to register as a donor, about whether to say yes when a family member needs a kidney, about whether to put their name on the list and trust a system that has not always trusted them. Tonight, we name that tension honestly, not to resolve it, not to tell you which world is right, but to give it language, because named things can be worked with. Unnamed things just sit in the body and block the decision. This is episode 8 of the series of Second Chances, live on Radio Africana in partnership with NHS Blood and Transplant. Stay with me. I want to start with something personal. I came to this country from Nigeria, and when I got sick, when the kidneys began to fail and the waiting began, I was navigating two completely different sets of expectations. From my Nigerian family and community, the expectation was prayer, fasting, the belief that God would heal. The deep cultural suspicion of an NHS system that has not historically served black bodies well. The quiet pressure not to be seen as giving up by registering for something that implied you might not be healed. From the British medical system, the expectation was compliance, registration, the forms, the clinical language, the NHS mode of patient behavior that assumed a relationship with the state that many people in my community had spent decades learning not to trust. Neither of those worlds was wrong. Both of them were just incomplete. And I stood between them for years, holding both, trying to honor both, and sometimes, in the hardest moment, feeling like I could not satisfy either of them. I think that experience is more common in this community than we name. The Nigerian mother who prays every morning for her son on dialysis but will not register as a donor because something in her bones says the NHS will not fight as hard to save her if they know. That is, if they know that she signed up to the organ donor register, for those who are wondering what I mean. The Jamaican man in his 60s who has lived here for 40 years, who built this country, who worked in the NHS, who still does not quite trust it with his body. The second generation woman who knows the clinical facts, who understands the tissue type compatibility argument, who wants to register, and who cannot bring herself to do it without her grandmother's blessing. And her grandmother will not give it. These are not ignorant people. These are not irrational people either. These are people who have learned across generations that caution with systems is survival. And that lesson does not disappear because a leaflet tells it to. Tonight, I want to sit with that honestly, and then I want to talk about how we move through it, and not past it, but through it. Kofi wrote Toast as a song of gratitude, of counting your blessings out loud and refusing to pretend otherwise. She says, "Me now go act like me no have more blessings fi count." This community has crossed oceans, built lives, raised children in a country that did not always welcome them, and kept going. That deserves to be toasted. Toast.
Yeah, blessings we are reap and we course in handful. Oh, we not rise and boast. Yeah, we give thanks like we need it the most. We have to give thanks like we really supposed to be thankful. Blessings all for me life and my thank God for the journey, the earnings are just for the plus. Yeah, and gratitude is a must. Yeah, we see blessings fall by my right hand. What's a toast for the friends that take off every load one time. In a class and we voted, only set the road and we go on with the road. play a sing, yeah, see me all diggy soon, get the higher ring like hello, brother. You say I had to shot ya. Saw your poster, spectacular photo. Keep it burning, yes, that's the motto. If me the butter pass through your shot to get ball in a life, man. Me have to thank God for the journey, the earnings are just for the plus. Yeah, and gratitude is a must. Yeah, me see blessings fall. So I me to give him the glory, I'm delighted. Jano say my passion ignited. Got the music, get me excited. I'm coming like a potion. Mm-hmm. Blessings all for my life, and my thank God for the journey, the earnings, that just for the plus. Yeah, and gratitude is a must. Yeah, me see blessings fall by my right hand. Bust a toast for the friends, we take off every load one time. Did sit down in a class and we bought then all he said. I thank God for the journey, the earnings are just for the plus. Yeah. And gratitude is a must. Yeah, me see blessings fall by my right hand. Bust a toast for the friends, we take off every load. One time did sit down in a class and we both dead. All he said, road, and we go on with the road. Toast.
Yeah.
Toast.
Welcome back. That was Kofi with Toast. Toast to this community. Toast to everyone who crossed the water and kept going. Now, I want to talk about the distrust because it is real. And it deserves to be named properly before we talk about what to do with it. The black community's distrust of medical institutions in the UK is not paranoia. It is history. There is a record, a long documented, carefully evidenced record of medical systems treating black bodies differently, of pain being underestimated, of conditions being missed, of black women dying in childbirth at four times the rate of white women, of black patients being less likely to be referred for certain treatments, of research that excluded black populations and then produced recommendations applied to them anyway. That is the context in which someone looks at an organ donation registration form and feels something in their body say, wait. That hesitation is not ignorance. It is institutional memory. It is the accumulated wisdom of a community that learned over generations that not everything a system offers is offered equally. I want to hold that with full respect. And then I want to say something that I've been sitting with for a long time. The distrust of the system is costing our community more than it is protecting it. I know it is hard to hear. I know it feels like I'm asking you to trust something that has given you reason not to. I'm not asking that. I'm asking you to look at the specific question of organ donation and examine whether the historical distrust applies to this particular decision in the way it feels like it does. Because here is what is true. The doctors treating you are legally, ethically, and professionally separate from the donation process. I say this all the time. This is not a promise. It is the law. It is law. The clinical team responsible for saving your life does not know your registration status. They are not involved in any donation decision. But here is what is also true. The people most harmed by low black donor registration rates are black patients. not the system, not white patients, black patients, our community, our grandmothers on dialysis, our uncles on the list, our neighbors who have been waiting for 3 years for a match that is not coming because not enough people who look like them have registered. So the distrust of the system that was built to protect us from harm is, in this specific case, causing us harm. That is the hardest truth in 8 weeks of this series of the show. And it needed to be said because I have said it more times than I can count. If we take the decision not to sign up to the organ donor register, we are not hurting anybody else but ourselves. Because one day, it will be either our turn or the turn of the people we love. And what happens then? We lose them because we are deciding that we are not going to donate our organs because of our mistrust of the system. I am holding my hand up right here. You cannot see me. I understand why there's mistrust. I have been through the system and have faced it equally what each and every one of you out there listening to me today have been through, if not even worse. But I keep going back because for some reason, I feel that if I am not engaging with the system, then I am hurting myself, because tomorrow it could be my husband, it could be my children, it could be my mother-in-law, it could be my cousins. And then would I expect somebody else to come and stand in that gap for my family when I'm not doing it? Even as I am a kidney transplant patient, I am on the organ donor register. Because I believe that if I'm asking you to do something, then I should be doing it myself. Olamide has been speaking to his community for over a decade. War is a song about movement. It's about being called forward and about something shifting. After that segment, after naming something hard, we need something that moves us forward rather than leaving us sitting in the weight of it. So here is war to lighten the mood and to get you moving your body and thinking about how we can move forward so that we all continue to have a longer life and better health. So here is war by Olamide, and I'll see you back here in a minute. Don't go away.
Show, She say she like to fuck a fiki. Bele bolo, eh, shabagidi, shabagidi, shabagidi. She be puro, no be waka wiki. She tell me, baby, shadagidi. I want to play your kaka kiki.
That was Olamide with War, and I hope you enjoyed it. Moving forward. Now, I want to talk about the specific things that make this decision harder for diaspora communities than for the general population, and what actually helps. Three things make this decision specifically harder for diaspora communities. The first is the home country position. Many people in this community have families back in Nigeria, Ghana, Jamaica, Trinidad, Barbados, Somalia, Zimbabwe, and those families have views, strong views, views shaped by their own country's relationship with medicine, donation, and the body. In some West African contexts, the idea of the body being cut or organs being removed carries spiritual significance that has nothing to do with what a British NHS leaflet says. In some Caribbean communities, the specific history of colonial medicine, of black bodies being experimented on, studied, used without consent, sits in the cultural memory in ways that are not always named but are always felt. When you call your mother in Lagos or your aunt in Kingston and tell her you're thinking about registering as a donor, you are not just navigating a personal decision. You're navigating a transatlantic conversation across two completely different frameworks. That is not a small thing, and pretending it is does not help. The second is the language barrier. Let's not forget that. Not the language of words, the language of systems. The NHS communicates in a way that assumes familiarity with British bureaucracy, British healthcare culture, British assumptions about the relationship between the state and the person. For someone whose entire framework for healthcare comes from a different country, a different system, a different relationship between citizen and state, the NHS donor register can feel like signing something you do not fully understand for a system you do not fully trust. And the instinct to not sign things you do not fully understand is a sensible instinct. The answer is not to override that instinct, it is to provide the language that makes the decision comprehensible in the framework the person actually lives in. That is what blackorgandonation.org.uk is trying to do. And that is what this show is trying to do. So please access blackorgandonation.org.uk to see how you can start that difficult decision. The third is the isolation of the decision. Many diaspora community members make this decision alone, not because they do not have family, but because the family is not here, or the family is divided, or the family cannot be asked because the conversation has never happened. And a decision made in isolation is much harder than a decision made in community. Now, what actually helps? Paired voices help more than clinical voices. When someone from your community, someone who looks like you, speaks like you, carries the same two walls you carry, says, "I registered, and here is why. And here is what it means to me." that moves people. Not a leaflet, not a campaign, a person. Another is faith leaders. Faith leaders help when they engage. So episode 2 of this series laid out the theological framework across Christianity, Islam, and the African traditional thought. When a pastor, an imam, a faith elder uses that framework to open the conversation rather than close it, the community follows. We've seen it happen several times. And the third is the community organizations which help when they hold the space. The WSHBME Kenya Network, CB Gold Foundation, the African Caribbean Kidney Enterprise. These are partnerships that bring these conversations into community spaces where the NHS cannot reach. These organizations are not auxiliary. They are central. And NHS BTs, so that's NHS Blood and Transplant's local presence, Zaina in Manchester, helps when it is visible and relational rather than institutional and distant. A coordinator who shows up to a community event, who speaks to a faith group who is known by name, and I hope that most of you know her by name, and you can invite her to your event to speak about NHS Blood and Transplant plan for organ donation within your community. That kind of resource is different from a letter arriving in your post. Chronix is a Jamaican artist who sings about finding something to smile about in the middle of difficulty. Not because the difficulty is not real, but because the smile is also real and it is necessary. After what we've just covered, the distrust, the barriers, the complexity of living between two worlds, I want us to breathe. Take a deep breath, lean back, and smile. I'll see you back here in a minute.
Tell me in the topics. She asked me what's my name. I tell her I am Chronix. And I said, girl, tell me what's your name. And she tell me that her name is Jamaica. And I said, smile, girl, smile. Smile for me, Jamaica. And I said, smile, girl, smile. Ooh, Lord, smile for me, Jamaica. And never you cry, here am I. And yeah, I'm here for you, Jamaica. Dry your eyes, girl, smile. Smile for me, Jamaica, love. Hey, she have a rich history. A beautiful woman with the sweetest gifts. Beautiful sunrise and an evening kiss. Of a nice sunset on the evening season. But she tell me, say she tired. Tired of the exploit and the liars. She give them reggae, give them beaches, give them flowers and the ferns. All she got is abuse in return. But I say, don't you worry yourself, mama. Hey, Chronix is here to your help, mama. Ooh, I say, no worry yourself, mommy. I want thing me, I beg you do for me. And I say, smile, girl, smile. Smile for me, Jamaica. I try, oh my, that she asked me, and this a woman say, ah, sweet, sweet Chronix, you fi give them, the one drop beat, pan a rhythm, rhythm, ah, you give them bob with a different stepping, ah, you give them bolt, nobody can run left him, boy,
But see ya, them must see things, say your outer ideas. You give them art and sweet literature. You gonna make the world see the better picture. I said, no worry yourself, mama. Chronics is here to your help, mama. Hey, I said, no worry yourself, mommy. One thing we are begging. Jamaica, and I said smile, girl, smile, wah 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 wah. From me, Jamaica, never you cry. Here am I, whoa. From me, Jamaica, and I said smile, boy. In the day, boy, boy.
So that was Chronics, Smile. Welcome back. I hope you're still with me. And if your drink is finished, just go and get some more, because we are delving a little bit deeper. Because I think you can carry the complexity and still find the smile. Both are true. Now I want to talk about what the diaspora experience actually has to offer this conversation. Because it is not only a barrier, it is also a resource. I want to say something that does not get said enough in the organ donation space. The diaspora community is not just a hard-to-reach population with too many barriers. It is a community with extraordinary assets. And these are the assets that we need to look at. Asset one is the community infrastructure. African and Caribbean communities in the UK have built remarkable community infrastructure. Churches that fill every Sunday and midweek. Mosques with deep community roots. Community associations, diaspora networks, cultural organizations, informal mutual aid networks that stretch from Manchester to Lagos to Kingston and back. That infrastructure is the most powerful distribution network for this conversation that exists. And when it is activated, when it decides this matters, it reaches more people more deeply, more quickly than any NHS campaign ever could. Asset two is the intergenerational connection. Diaspora families maintain connections across generations and across oceans that most majority population families do not. I always say, charity begins at home. When we talk about home between two worlds, we're looking at Africa, Jamaica, or the UK. We have to remember that the major shift and people are traveling out of Africa, out of Asia, and they are come out of the Caribbean, and they're coming to the West. And they come with their culture, their traditions, their beliefs. When a grandmother in Jamaica or a father in Lagos or an aunt in Accra changes their position on organ donation, it travels. It travels in the WhatsApp groups and the Sunday phone calls and the Christmas visits and in the people coming into the UK. This intergenerational, transnational nature of diaspora family life is not a complication. It is a multiplier. So let's explore that and see how we can change people's minds. Change beliefs and cultures before people start to make that journey from where they are to the West. Asset number three is the testimony tradition. African and Caribbean Christian and Muslim communities have a tradition of testimony, of standing up and saying, "This happened to me and it changed my life." Most of you know me. Most of you have heard my story. You check on me on Google. You see I'm sharing my story at every point. Whether I'm talking to you at a party, at a wedding, or a birthday party, or on the plane or in Asda, I am talking about my story. Even in churches, when I share my story, people are amazed at the glory of God and the works of God. That tradition is the most powerful advocacy tool in the organ donation space, and it belongs to our communities. When transplant recipients stand up in the churches and say, "I am here because someone said yes," that is a testimony. That is the tradition being used for exactly what it is built for. This show is testimony. Ali and Adi's recordings last week were testimony. Sarah's recording was a testimony. My story, every Sunday for the past 8 weeks and even since I started this show, is testimony. Asset number four is the experience of navigating systems. Diaspora communities know how to navigate complex, sometimes hostile systems. They know how to find the information, how to identify the trusted voice, how to make a decision across multiple frameworks simultaneously. That skill, that cultural agility, is exactly what is needed to bring this conversation across the two worlds. The diaspora decision is hard because it is complex. But the diaspora community is built for complex decisions. We have been making them since the first person in our families got on a plane and decided that two worlds were better than one. Protégé is a Jamaican artist who writes about living between worlds with clarity and beauty. In Life is a song about being present, about being here, fully, honestly, with everything you carry. This is what this community does, In Life with Everything. I'll see you back here in a little bit. Don't go away.
In Life. Royalty, royalty. Hey. If I ever make it in a life,
make it in
you
life.
Are gonna be living like royalty. So me happy set it in a right. Never ever happy think twice, no way. If I ever make it in a life,
make it in
you
life.
Are gonna be living like royalty. So me happy set it in a right. Never ever happy think twice, no way. Me used to sleep on Saga Coach. Me used to sleep on Curry Coach. Them and they never left me out. Me used to live at Eddie House. Me never keep me own a key. Shakima used to let me out. Me bring him with me, got LA. It's like a him get nominated. Him watch the Grammy side of me. Cause how much people can you say would feed you when you're hungry? When you brought them, bless you with money. But I have been so fortunate, surrounded by so many people, make sure I say me copacetic. And them they think me can't forget. Your daughter and my daughter wants me living, she no happy friend. If I ever make it in a life, you are gonna be living like royalty. So me happy set it in a right. Never ever happy think twice, no way. If I ever make it in a life, you are gonna be living like royalty. So me happy set it in a right. Like royalty, royalty. Hey,
man, I set it like you a god. Remember when we get my first under a card? Cartels the clocks up and I needed record. Shell the world me first, eat record. For me blessed them reaping the reward. Make me first mill, remember when me used to starve. Pull up Irish Town Benz in a garage. Pops color protege, them cannot sabotage. Like a iPhone 11 summer charge. Praise oh man, I live. So me gain the blessing, oh and so me give.
Hey, if I ever make it in a life,
make it in
you are gonna be living like royalty. So me happy set it in a right. Never ever happy think twice, no way. If I ever make it in a life,
make it in
you are gonna be living.
Africa can't support me talent, oh yeah. Everything me have, you get it, I'm a thousand. On me pay repay, the amount of money won't spend. No, we must it rough, you see me in a torment. People call me gruff like up in the apartment. Remember me, they tell you there would be a moment. When the work we put in would I pay off so set. Now you see the family top of the mountain. Reaping all the streams and turn them in a fountain. Now get salary, man, thus I do the mountain. So any town and any city, understand you coming with me. If I make it in a life, you are gonna be living like royalty. So me happy set it in a right. Never ever happy think twice, no way. If I ever make it in a life, I go be living like royalty. So me happy set it in a right. Like royalty, royalty. Hey,
enjoyed that. That was Protégé in life. In this life, not the one back home, here, right here in the UK, not the imagined one, this one, here, now, with everything you are, that is where the decision gets made. I'll repeat that. It is where the decision gets made. Now, your actions and the clothes. Three things this week, and I want to frame them in the spirit of tonight's episode. Thing one, have the conversation in both directions, not just with your family here in the UK. Call home. Your parents in Lagos, the aunt in Kingston, the grandparents in Accra. Not to persuade, but to share. Say, I heard something on radio this week and I want to tell you what it made me think about. Can I share it with you? That call, make it this week. It is a duty. Number two, thing two, is to bring someone new into the community resource. I was talking about this earlier. BlackOrganDonation.org.uk was built for our community. This community, for both worlds it holds. So share it this week with someone who has never seen it. Also, download Kinect at kinectapp.org. Share it with a family member navigating kidney health. Thing three, register. And this week specifically, tell someone from your home country that you have. It's not to create pressure, but to normalize that conversation. Organdonation.nhs.uk. 2 minutes. It only takes 2 minutes to register. And then one message. I registered today and I wanted you to know. You could say it to your brother. You could say it to your parents, to your siblings, to your husband, to your children, you know, people that you trust, so they know what your wish is. And let's not forget Zaina, our NHS blood and transplant coordinator in Manchester. She's a bridge between this community and the system. So ask to connect with the Manchester team. She's there. She understands both worlds. And she's nice. I've spoken to her as well. She's quiet. She's engaged. She wants to know what you're doing. She wants to know how she can help, how she can support. Reach out to her. Also, find the WSHBME Kidney Network on Facebook. That community is having this conversation every day across both worlds. This episode is also made in partnership with NHS Blood and Transplant. For 8 weeks of the series, we've been having one conversation and it is still ongoing. I want to close tonight with an image that has stayed with me. When I was a child in Nigeria, I was taught that water from two different rivers, when they meet, does not become weaker. They become wider. I think about that a lot when I think about what it means to be a diaspora. To carry Nigeria and to carry Britain. To carry the Caribbean and to carry the UK. We are not diluted by that double identity. We are widened by it. Think about that. We are widened by it. And the organ donation conversation, this is specific. It is complex, culturally layered conversation, needs people who can speak both rivers. Who can stand in the NHS blood and transplant space and translate it for the family back home? Who can stand in the church hall and translate the clinical language into the language of testimony and faith? Who can sit at a family table in Manchester with Eba on one end and rice and peas on the other and hold the whole thing together? That is us. That has always been us. 8 weeks ago, I was not sure how many people were ready for this conversation. 8 weeks later, I know. More than we thought. And growing. Second chances are not given. They are received. And they come with a responsibility to carry them forward in both worlds, across every table, in every language you hold. Register at organdonation.nhs.uk, visit blackorgandonation.org.uk, download Kinect at kinectapp.org, and call home this week. I am Hilaria Sumo. This is Second Chances, and see you next Sunday. Bob Marley understood something about holding two worlds together and finding peace in both. Three little birds, every little thing is gonna be all right. Singing Don't Worry. See you back here next week. Bye.
Love the music?
Baby.
Love Radio Africana.